When was the last time you fed a baby oatmeal or applesauce? Or how about green beans or peas? Regardless of what you may be serving, when a baby does not want to eat it, his or her entire body gets engaged in the struggle. The jaw becomes cast iron, and if something does get into the mouth, then miraculously, it's spit out. You know, baby's not going to put up with it. They also develop great hand-eye coordination at these times, and the spoonful headed for the mouth hits the ear instead. And the baby's hand will deflect the spoonful into your lap. Now, babies need to eat. Good nutrition is important for the growth of every child. However, no matter how hard we may try, and regardless how tasty the food may be, unless the baby is willing to eat, we cannot fill it with food. When the same baby is hungry or thirsty and is crying out, making its desire known, then it's much easier to fill that baby. Similarly, the Holy Spirit does not force himself on us. He doesn't try to fill us without our desire. In the same way that a baby needs to have a desire for food or drink, and they need to be willing to eat in order to receive that, we also must crave the presence of the Holy Spirit in order to be filled with the power and the wisdom of God. In many Christian circles, the Holy Spirit is either neglected or forgotten or misunderstood. The one that is given to unite the body of Christ, we so often make a center of controversy. Also, often church ministry is so rigidly programmed that it seems to no longer depend on him. Yet Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Nothing of eternal value. A.W. Tozer wrote this. A.W. Tozer is an outstanding Christian writer back in the mid-20th century. And if you come across any books written by A.W. Tozer, they're outstanding. Pursuit of God and various other books like that. But he wrote this. He said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we would do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they were doing would immediately stop and everyone would know the difference. If you were suddenly transported into an uncharted jungle, like an Amazon jungle, and you were given the choice of three tools, a GPS, a map of Wisconsin, or a human jungle guide, which one would you choose? If you're wise, you'll take the personal guide. In fact, there was a family, an American family, who went on a trip to Australia, and they wanted to see the outback. The father said many times on that trip, they were uneasy because he absolutely knew, had no idea where they were. But the whole time they were out there, their personal guide knew exactly where they were. He knew the climate, the topography, the environment, the conditions where they had been and where they were going, so they could relax because they had a personal guide who personally knew the territory. The rest of your life is uncharted territory. Whether you live another 7 months or 70 years, the rest of your life is uncharted territory. Nobody's been there. God said, I want to give you a guide, a personal guidance counselor. Father, as we look to your word now, as we consider the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that you will help us to understand more fully than ever before and to desire for him to speak to us every day and throughout the day and to guide us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In John 16:13, Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, God puts his Spirit into your life. He does all kinds of different things for you. But what I want to focus on today is that the Holy Spirit guides you. He guides you. He wants to guide you for the rest of your life. This is good news. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you." He says, "I'll lead you along the best pathway for your life." If I could really get tuned into God and get his guidance, do you think that would make my life a bit easier or more productive? Do you think I might make fewer mistakes without him than I do? Fewer mistakes with him rather than without him? What we're talking about is not just a small issue, but a crucial thing, a very important thing in the Christian life. The secret of a fulfilled life is found in the Bible in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. "Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Without God's guidance through his Holy Spirit, I'm just stumbling through life. I don't know where I'm going. I might have goals and dreams and ideas and ambitions, but by myself, without his directing me, without his guiding me, I'm just stumbling. The Bible says, "Live by God's Spirit." So how do I get such guidance from God? It's through his Holy Spirit. So let me ask the first question. How does the Holy Spirit guide me? How does he guide me? The two most common ways are, number one, by helping us remember what God has already said. By helping us remember what God has already said. The fact is, God has already told us most of what we already need in life. Some of you are, you're waiting for God's will. And you're not sure how he's going to reveal it to you, so maybe he's going to write it on the sky or give you a dream of some sort. Now, he does do that. There are many people who have come to Christ as a result of dreams that the Holy Spirit has given them, especially in areas where the gospel is not allowed, like some radically Muslim countries. But he's already written it in a book that we have, the Bible. And all you have to do is open it up. You see, the Bible has zero shelf life. It doesn't do any good up on the shelf or on the table in the living room. He says, "I have written it, and it is for you if you'll read it. I'll guide you." God's will is found in God's word. The more I read and study God's word with the Holy Spirit's direction, the better I can understand God's will for my life. God wants me to understand his word. It's there, and I try to read it every day. But there's a problem. We all have it. And the problem is called retention. Retention. That means we just don't remember everything we read. The United States Air Force did a survey and discovered that we lose between 90 and 95% of what we read and hear in about 72 hours. 3 days. Believe me, that is a statistic that depresses pastors. You hear all this good stuff on Sunday, and by Wednesday, you've forgotten most of it. That's why it's important that we take notes. That's why we give you an insert in the bulletin. I know it helps me if I take notes, if I write things down. But fortunately, a part of the Holy Spirit's job is to help you remember what's in the Bible. Jesus said this. He said, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will remind you of everything I have said to you." So first of all, the Holy Spirit helps us remember what God has already said. And secondly, the Holy Spirit guides us by inspiring ideas in our mind. When the devil gives you an idea, that's called a temptation. When God gives you an idea, that's called inspiration. They're both suggesting ideas, and you have a choice. You need to choose between the two. Have you ever heard God speak out loud? I've never heard his voice with my ears. But he does plant ideas in my mind all the time. God is trying to talk to you all the time. You just might not recognize it. There's a myth that says God only speaks to the superstars or the special saints, the Billy Graham types. Do only they get the direct word from God? No, not at all. If I worked like that as a father, I would have a favorite child, and I would only speak to him or her. That would be horrible. That'd make me a bad dad. But I speak to all of my kids and my grandkids because I love them all. God loves you, and he wants to talk to you, but you just might not recognize it. You've got to tune into him. God wants to speak to you on a regular basis. He says, "I want to instruct you, I want to guide you, I want to advise you on the best pathway for your life." Has God ever changed your mind? He's changed my mind many times. He gives inspiration, ideas, thoughts, and warnings. When people say they feel like I'm speaking directly to them through a sermon, it's not because I've been reading their email. The Holy Spirit has. God says, if you'll just be open, he will give you all kinds of ideas. The founder of Texas Instruments said he got the idea for his company sitting in church. I don't know if he got anything out of the message, but he got the idea for Texas Instruments in church, and it made him a billionaire. God says, "I want to give you guidance by helping you remember what I've already said and by thus inspiring ideas in your mind." So secondly, how do you receive guidance? How do you receive it? God gives us guidance, but unless I'm tuned in, I'm going to miss what God has to say to me. So how do I receive guidance from God? The first thing is ask for it. Ask for it. God, I need your advice. Psalm 27:11 says, "Lord, teach me your ways and guide me in doing what is right." Be open to direction. Be open to his instruction. You've got to be teachable. You must be ready to receive it. Now, I like to watch some of these old television shows. One of them is Home Improvement. And in one episode, Tim and his wife, Jill, are going to a wedding. It's at a distance in an area that they're not real familiar with. So on their way, they got lost. Now, is Tim going to stop and ask for directions? Not on your life. He's a man's man. and they end up in another state. They miss the wedding. Isn't Jill happy? Why won't some people ask for directions? Do we save time by asking for directions? We sure do. We usually think we can figure it out on our own, and one of the reasons why you don't often feel God guiding you is because you don't stop and ask Him. You think you can figure it out on your own and do it yourself. You don't think you need God's advice, so you don't ask. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. God says He wants us to ask. Remember, our God is interested in every detail of your life. He knows everything about you, and He wants you to know Him, and He wants you to ask for direction in whatever you're doing, whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're planning. Be very specific. Don't just say, God, speak to me. Ask Him a very specific question about your job, about your marriage, about your finances, whatever it is. Be very specific to ask Him for questions. Ask God, what's the next step? What's the next step with my family? What's the next step with my wife or my husband? With my kids, my boss, whoever? What's the next step you want to take me with my church in serving you, Lord? Be very specific in asking questions. And then secondly, after ask, is expect it. Expect it. James 1:6 says, God is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask Him. But when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to tell you. That you really expect Him to tell you. What's that called? It's called the faith factor. The faith factor. We must believe that God is going to hear us. We must believe He's going to answer. You have to trust God. God always works in our lives according to our faith. God rewards those who trust. He rewards those who believe in Him. Sometimes you don't receive guidance because you don't really believe God wants to tell you the right thing. Guidance is only as good as the person giving it. Did you get that? Guidance is only as good as the person giving it. It's only helpful if you trust the person who gave it to you. You can always trust God for guidance because He is never wrong. He's never wrong. When God tells you, you can depend upon it. You must trust God. You must expect God to answer. Excuse me. I'd be careful not to cough into the microphone. You need to expect Him to answer. When you expect guidance, you're going to get it. And then three, read for guidance. You ever bought a bike or a wagon or a toy, maybe for Christmas for one of your children, and you ignored the directions because you figured, I can figure this thing out? And hours later, you're looking for those instructions because it's not turning out the way you thought it should. You're up at 2 in the morning on Christmas morning. I've done that. Soon I was scrounging for those directions after wasting hours trying to get that thing together. Any of you relate to that? Why do we always wait to read the instructions? Why don't we just read them right from the start? In regard to your life, save yourself some grief. Save time. God's word is our instruction manual. Psalm 119:19 says, I'm a pilgrim here on earth, and I need a map, and your commands are my chart and guide. Your commands are my chart and guide. This is your guidebook. We need to consult it on a regular basis. We need to consult it every day. In the several Apollo space launches to the moon, we're told that they were on course less than 1% of the time. They were on course less than 1% of the time. They were constantly calling back to mission control to get mid-course corrections. Because of the way the Earth turns and the moon revolves around the Earth, they were constantly getting off course. Can you imagine only calling back to mission control once a week? You'd get so far off course, you'd never get there. Some people get biblical input only once a week on Sunday morning. We get off course a whole lot more often than that. I know I do. I need his input every day. You need to set aside time daily to check in with God. You need to give him your undivided attention, even if it's just 10 or 15 minutes. But do it every day. We can easily get way off course. The Bible is our guidebook, but we need it a whole lot more often than just on Sunday. The amazing thing is, as you read through the Bible on a regular, systematic basis, God knows what you're going to need, and he's going to share it with you. You ever read a passage and you realize that's just what you needed for that day? How did God do that? How did he time that? I don't know, but he does it over and over again. And then the fourth thing is wait for it. Wait for it. The biggest reason why we don't hear God speak to us is because we're always in a hurry. God tries to call you and he gets a busy signal. He can't get my attention. I'm just too busy. And we get in a hurry. We don't want to wait for direction. And we try to figure it out all on our own. When you try to figure it out on your own, notice what happens. Isaiah spoke to that in Isaiah 50, verse 11. Some of you want to light your own fires and make your own light. So go walk and trust your own light to guide you. But this is what you'll receive, a place of pain. God says, okay, you want to ignore me? You want to do your own thing? Fine, go ahead. You'll just walk into pain. We get in a hurry. I've got to know now. I've got to make that decision right now. No, you don't. You make it when God says, this is a good time to make it. Notice Isaiah said, you try to make your own light. The point it's making here is that people are desperate for spiritual guidance. They will look almost anywhere, many times putting their brain on the shelf in order to seek guidance. They'll consult psychic hotlines or consult tea leaves or tarot cards or horoscopes. Many people desperate for guidance will look almost everywhere except to God. God says, where does it end? It ends in a place of pain. It just doesn't work. Psalm 25:9 says, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. If you patiently and humbly listen, God's Spirit will guide you. So what is humility? Humility is simply depending on God, saying, God, I don't have all the answers. I need your help. Here's what the Christian life is all about. It's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a religion, but a personal trust relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then His Spirit can guide you every day in the best way to live. If you will genuinely do this, begin to practice this, and let God guide you on a moment-by-moment basis, and then you will see changes take place in your life that you never thought possible. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. He's saying that getting guidance from God is proof that you are really a believer. How do I know I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? It says you are led by God's Holy Spirit. If I never sense God directing me, then I have every reason in the world to doubt that I'm really a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. If God never directs me positively or negatively, then I have no reason to assume that I'm a Christ follower at all. If folks say, "Why does God not ever speak to me?" Maybe it's because they're not tuned in. Jesus said in John 8:47, the person who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason that people don't hear from God is they don't belong to God. If you've never sensed God's guidance in your life, maybe you're not really a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not really a believer. And here's a simple question I want to finish with today. Have you ever come to a point in your life where you said, "Jesus Christ, come into my life. Put your Spirit within me. I want to follow you." You ever said that? Or something like it? I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship with God. Your background might be Baptist or Catholic or Protestant or Jewish or Buddhist or nothing. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. If you haven't done it, I'd like to encourage you to make that decision now. If you'd like to do that, you might pray a prayer just like this, and it's up on the screen. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and arose from the dead. Please forgive me and come into my life. I want to trust you and follow you. Make me the person you want me to be. And then now, Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me and coming into my life. I am now yours. And you are mine. Now, as crucial and life-changing as salvation is, the power of the Holy Spirit is not just for salvation. As you are now a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, He wants to continue to work in your life through transformation, a process that might seem slow and gradual. But the difference is this. If you take 10 gallons of gasoline in a gas can. Now, that can release a tremendous amount of power and energy just by dropping a lighted match into it. It makes a dramatic one-time impact. Boom! But there's another way to release the energy in that gasoline. Place it in the fuel tank of a Honda or something like that, designed to get 40 miles per gallon. That high-tech engine will use that 10 gallons of gasoline to take a person 400 miles or more. Explosions may be spectacular, but the sustained, controlled burn has staying power. You don't want to be just a flash in the pan. You want to make a difference in the world over time. You want to last for the long haul. You don't want the Holy Spirit to just save you for heaven. You want him to use his power to transform your life, to affect the lives of many, many other people. In closing, I'd just like to give you some answers to the back of the insert there. I'm not going to preach through all of that. I'm just going to give you the answers. How to test an impression. Sometimes we wonder about the impressions that are on our mind. Is this from God or is this just something that's coming from somewhere else? 1 John 4:1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So you ask, first of all, does it agree with the Bible? Heaven and earth pass away, but my words will never pass away. Secondly, does it make me more like Jesus Christ? Does it make me more like Christ? If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is of the devil. The wisdom that comes from God is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy. And thirdly, does my church family confirm it? The wisdom of the righteous can save you. That's why it's so important to be a part of a church family. And I like to really push the small groups that we are part of, the life groups, where you can get counsel and help and encouragement and even correction. And then fourth, does it concern my responsibility? He says in Romans 14, "We will all be judges one day, not by each other's standards or even our own, but by the judgment of God. It is to God alone that we will have to answer for our actions." And then the last one, the fifth one, do I sense God's peace about it? Because we're told in 1 Corinthians 14, that God is not the author of confusion. In Romans 8, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. Father, as we have looked to your word and to your Holy Spirit this morning, help us to depend upon you every day and throughout the day, looking to you for your input, your guidance, that you will help us to understand what it is you want us to do and be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.